Hey everyone, this is Andy.
And this is Sam.
And we're the Spiteries. We started the Spiteries review series as a small Patreon side project, but it turns out that my wife is even better at podcasting than I am, so we're bringing the Spiteries review to the masses.
Starting this month, the Spiteries review will be available wherever you get your podcasts, so come and listen as Andy and I chat about the stuff we've watched and the things that we've done.
With brand new episodes every month, the Spiteries review is a peek into what life is like in the Spiteri household, and you never know when Link or Zora will make a surprise appearance.
We've even got older shows in the vault that will be rolled out over the next few months, including reviews on Mean Girls, Twilight, Spirited Away, Cowboy Bebop, and more. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Like they say, happy wife equals happy life.
Ugh, you're so lame.
So help us out by joining our Discord and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. The Spiteries review is available now from SPNet.
The last Metroid is in captivity. The galaxy is at peace.
Everyone, and welcome to the Omega Metroid podcast from OmegaMetroid.com. My name is Andy Spiteri, joined by Doominal Crossing, and for the first time in a long time, our pal, our friend, our community manager, Lilith. Lilith, what's going on? Doom, I'm sorry, this is the second week in a row I've kind of shafted your intro here, but we got Lilith on the show. What's going on?
Not too much. I'm just, you know, living life and hanging out and having a good time.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. I love your necklace, by the way. I'm literally just noticing that right now. Anyone not watching on YouTube, by the way, you're missing out on, first of all, you're missing out on our beautiful faces, but Lilith has a rockin', like, SNES controller. That thing's looking pretty cool.
I actually, like, made this. It came off of, like, a keychain that I got from, like, a friend, like, years ago, and it came off of, like, the little keychain, and I put it in, like, a little necklace chain.
Oh.
Because I did, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Doom? What's going on with you, buddy? You got some good news for us here, as what I heard. I don't know if you want to share it or not, but...
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah, I finally found a job after months and months of searching, and so things in my personal life are looking up, and when things in my personal life are looking up, it means that I have more time to dedicate to our little Omega Metroid project going on. So it's just good news all around. Speaking of Omega Metroid, the Prime Guide that we announced last week, coming along very smoothly. I'm doing a second playthrough of the game right now just to get some finishing touches, you know, just some screenshots, videos that I missed. That's the good news. The bad news is, man, that Zelda musical March Madness has just been crushing my soul, man. Watching all my favorite songs just get gutted in the first round. It's hard to watch, man, or hard to listen to, maybe.
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of used to it by now, so, like, I don't take anything personally. Lilith, and for probably a lot of our listeners out there, I wonder what the heck we're talking about. Have I ever told you about Zelda Dungeon Musical March Madness before?
Oh, no.
Okay, so this is something that we're going to steal for Omega, by the way, maybe next year. But I created, this is the sixth year of it, but it was an idea that I had to create. Instead of like an NCAA like March Madness bracket, we had instead of basketball teams, we had Zelda songs going head to head up against each other. And the tournament is underway right now. And Doom was on the Zelda cast a couple weeks ago, and we had a good time picking out the winners of the tournament. But you know what? My bracket isn't doing so well. It's not dead yet, but it's not doing so well. And it does hurt seeing like songs like Forest Temple unceremoniously booted out at the very beginning of the tournament, which makes me sad.
That's rude.
I know. I remember the first year I was, so one of my favorite, I promise we're going to talk about Metroid here, but one of my favorite songs in the Zelda series is the Spirit Temple theme from Ocarina of Time. And I was like, this song's going to be, it's going to do so good. Everybody loves this or whatever. I seeded it fairly high. It was like a number four seed, and this got crushed by, I think it was like Kakariko Village or something. And I was so devastated. And since then, Doom, I've kind of been like, you know, no emotion, like, you know, yeah. Nothing gets to me. It's tough out there.
Yeah, you just have to detach yourself from the whole process and just be like, you know what? I have to accept that my takes are just going to be better than everyone else's, and we're just going to let them do their own thing.
Yep, that's pretty much exactly right. I have a little bit of shilling to do here before we get to today's show, if you guys will indulge me. So, as I mentioned on last week's show, and I believe even the week before that as well, my wife Samantha and I have started a new podcast. It's the fourth podcast that I have. I don't know why I do this to myself, but I do. We've started a new show called The Spiteri's Review, where we just talk about stuff that we watched. And we dropped like a 3-hour, like, epic, like Ben-Hur, Avatar, Titanic-style epic on The Sopranos. And that's our episode number one, which is now available Podbean, Spotify, and it'll be slowly trickling out to other places that you get your podcast. So, you know, give us a like, give us a subscribe, drop us a review. That'd be really cool. And come hang out in our Discord and chat with us. We have a few people in there talking movies, talking shows, and whatnot. So, small little community, but we're having fun so far. So, wanted to throw that out there for everybody to, you know, to do with what they will. All right. I don't want to shill for too long today because we have a show that I'm really looking forward to, really excited about. And the reason for that is because it is the anniversary of a game that is so near and dear to me. If you were to ask me what the greatest game ever made is, what my favorite game that I've ever played is, chances are good, depending on my mood, I'd either say Ocarina of Time, or I would say this game, Super Metroid, which turns 30 today, 30 years old. Wow. I have a question for you guys. Are you guys older or younger than Super Metroid?
Older.
Just barely older.
Okay.
This game came out a few months. Game came out a few months after I was born.
I'm pretty sure. 2 years. So I'm obviously older, but even me, I'm not older by much. Like, it's incredible to think it's been 30 years, 1994, that Super Metroid came out and just completely revolutionized platformers. Obviously, Metroidvanias, but I feel like just platformers in general, 2D games in general, and kind of like... Well, we'll save it when we talk about the legacy of Super Metroid here. But yeah, you know, I think that it's such a monumentous occasion and such a great excuse to replay Super Metroid, which I was doing last night. One of my favorite games of all time, arguably my favorite, one of the most important games, I think, and a game that I'm really excited just to honor here today. And so usually, like, when we do the Omega Metroid podcast, we kind of have a little bit of an idea, we have a little bit of a format, we try to stick to some bullet points, stuff like that. We're just going to have a conversation today about Super Metroid, what our experiences were, first time that we played it, what it means to us, the legacy of the game, and have a little bit more of a free-flowing kind of discussion about the game here. So I guess that being said, I guess we should take it all the way back. And we might have told some of these stories before, we might not have, but if we have, it's been a while. So we'll take it all the way back, and we'll talk about the first time that we ever encountered Super Metroid. And Lilith, for you and I, this was like our gateway into the Metroid series, right? Like we are of a certain vintage where, like, this was the Metroid game that you got into. So maybe I'll hand it over to you to get us kicked off with here. Tell us about your experiences, your first time playing it, and anything else that you want to.
Oh my. Well, yeah, Super Metroid was my actual introduction to video games as an entire whole. And it is a special relationship with me because, you know, my dad introduced me to it, and he had me, like, that was when I learned how to, you know, time things and be patient, and I don't know, I have such a special relationship with it for so many reasons, but specifically through my father, who passed a few years ago, I think five years ago in April. Yeah, absolutely. It was my introduction to video games, and it really, and that's the only, like, that sparked my entire interest in playing any game at all in any sense or form. Like, I went from Super Metroid to Donkey Kong to everything else, and it was just, and it was amazing. And yeah, I've got a lot of emotions behind this game, so.
Yeah, and you know, it always kind of, I guess, makes me smile, because obviously I know the story about your dad and whatever. That just, it kind of just makes me smile thinking about that. You know, having just a classic image, right? Like a dad teaching their kid about you know, the games that they loved, and I think that that's just fantastic. So
yeah, absolutely. One of my it's like, and it might seem kind of like, you know, corny or whatever, but I just, like, I have this, like, memory of me sitting on the floor in front of their, like, entertainment. It wasn't like an entertainment system. It was, because, you know, it was just like a dresser that they had, like, you know, their TV on, and I'm just sitting there on the ground. My dad's on the bed behind me, and he's like, yeah, no, do this. And I remember one of my favorite memories was, I was, because they had the, which I now possess, they had the guide, the official guide, and yeah. I, like, looked in there, and I, like, went through, and I'm just like, oh, I saw the special way to defeat one of the bosses, and I, like, tried to surprise my dad with it, and he was, it's just a lot of special memories with that game, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Doom, what's the first time that you, because you didn't come into the series with Super Metroid, right? You had a couple mm-hmm. other games. I want to say Metroid Prime was your first, or no, Metroid 2 actually was your first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Metroid 2 is technically my first. I didn't play too much of it. Basically, Metroid 2 was a little too young. A little too young to really fully grasp that game. I ended up trading it in for a copy of Donkey Kong Land with a friend. Of course, nowadays, I have a much greater appreciation for Metroid 2, and I think it's quite an underrated... that we're not talking about Metroid 2 today. From there, it was Metroid Prime that really got me into the series. Zero Mission is kind of what was like, oh, wait a minute, it's not just the 3D games, the 2D games also kick ass, too. This whole series is just kind of really cool. And yeah. So Prime 2 came out that same year, so that was awesome. And I just kind of slowly started building up my, you know, my Metroid repertoire with all the new releases that were coming up. And the year that Prime 3 came out was really special to me. At that time, and maybe even today, that was like the most hyped, the most anticipated I had ever been for a new release. You know, Metroid Prime 3, the finale of the Prime saga. Like, it felt like my whole life was building up to this moment. And... you know, part of Nintendo's marketing campaign had to do with the Virtual Console. They were slowly bringing over that past Metroid catalog, and I believe like 2 weeks before Prime 3, they just shadow dropped Super Metroid on the Wii Shop channel, and I conveniently just happened to have 800 spare points remaining, which is how much Super Metroid costed. So I knew exactly what I was going to do leading up into Prime 3, and you know, despite having so many Metroid titles under my belt, including some 2D Metroid titles, which one could argue, you know, has a lot of quality of life improvements than Super Metroid. Man, that game still resonated with me so much. Mm. Both on a presentational and a gameplay level. One of the things that actually kind of blew me away, which I now know to be Mode 7, was, you know, when you're first fighting Ridley in that beginning, and then, after you do enough damage to him, and he goes in the background, and then he flies into the foreground, and I was like, whoa, I've never seen anything like that in a 2D game before, in 2007. And, like, it was so cool.
It is a great moment, isn't it? Like, just very, very startling.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
So I'm going to tell my Super Metroid story here. Like a lot of people that are Metroid fans, I think that... I got into Metroid kind of through Super Smash Bros. A little bit, and I don't even know if I'd heard of Metroid before then, and so I was playing Smash on the N64, it's 1999, and I'm just like, I like Link, I like Pikachu, I'm like 10, 11 years old, but I'm like, I want to try someone else, like, who's this cool-looking robot guy? And so I started playing Samus, and then I learned, and I was going through, and I was like, wait a second, this isn't a cool robot guy. This is an intergalactic bounty hunter who's a woman named Samus Aran. I was like, okay, cool. I'm like, maybe I should try and play this Metroid game. And so my dad also took me out, and I was like, Dad, like, I want to play Super Metroid, and this is in 1999, where there's no virtual console, there's no nothing. So, like, if you wanted to play it, you had to track down, like, the SNES copy of it. And so my dad's like, all right, get in the car. And so we got in the car, and we drove around, and eventually we were looking to rent it, because there were still some places that were still renting SNES games at this point. And so we found this little mom-and-pop shop, and they had the game there. This is like the fourth place we checked, and they had Super Metroid there, and I was like, yeah. And my dad is just like they were renting it for like $5 or whatever, and he's like, how much would you charge us just to like buy this thing? And the guy, I don't think he knew what he had, because he was like, I don't know, like $15. And so we were like, great, that's we'll take it. And so picked up my cartridge of Super Metroid, brought it home to my dad's place, and played it, and it was unlike anything else that I'd played. Like, you know, most of the 2D games that I'd played to that point had been like Super Mario or Donkey Kong, which are very level based, very, you know, kind of cutesy fun or whatever. This was like so like moody, atmospheric, tense, suspenseful. It with Ocarina of Time was something that I played and was just like, wow, like video games could be a lot more than like just levels and a fun little distraction. Like, there's some real artistic value and like some real good qualities to video games that I don't think people appreciate. And I think people appreciate them now, but I just remember playing Super Metroid and just being like completely blown out of the water. And I was like, I was hooked, and I was playing on like my SNES and my old TV or whatever in my dad's condo. And I remember like it took me 17 hours, my first playthrough, to beat Super Metroid, and maybe like half the items. I don't remember, but I do remember 17 hours, and I finally beat it. And I was just like, wow, I got to play every single Metroid game now. So I bought the first one. I tracked down Metroid 2. Metroid Prime came out. Metroid Fusion came out. And like, that was it. Like, I was hooked on the series, and Super Metroid did that. And, you know, I don't think that I'm the only person that Super Metroid really kind of like grasped its claws into and sunk it in, so to speak. So, yeah, it's obviously we know that this game is one of the most critically like acclaimed games of all time. It's topped a bunch of different lists of best game ever, et cetera, et cetera. I guess, like, Lilith, to throw back to you, like, so eventually you probably beat Super Metroid. I guess, like, when you finish, when you roll credits, what's your thought? Like, what are you sitting there just being like, wow, like that, like, what's going through your mind?
So before I actually got a chance to finish it for the first time, Prime was actually like, we saw the commercials on TV. We actually saw like the TV commercials, and my dad was like, we need to finish this before Prime comes out, because, you know, we got to get this done. So that was my drive to finish the game. So that's what my the first memory I come back to with the credits, the actual like memory I remember is just like actually seeing my parents get the best ending for the first time, because this was like before it was like sentient. This was their game, like they played it together. My mom and my dad played it together, and they tried to get like they would wait for each other to get off work to play together and do stuff like that. And so when they finally got like the end, like the best ending, it was just it was so cool just to see them be so happy. But yeah, no, my biggest memory with the end credits is, you know, being excited for Prime. Which, I was so excited seeing those commercials on TV. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Well, I remember I saw that commercial for Prime. I was waiting for Prime 3. I will never forget seeing that commercial just playing before. I think I was seeing, like, I don't know, Lord of the Rings or something. And I was like, hell yeah, this is awesome. Metroid Prime, are you kidding me?
I'm like, what?
Yeah. For what is, I actually remember seeing a Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles trailer of all trailers, too, in the movie theaters. I have a weird memory for, like, every trailer I've ever seen in a movie theater. I don't know why. I also saw Gears of War, very cool trailer with that that Mad World song. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, Super Metroid, I think you could like immediately tell something was like very, very, very special about that game. And I have a few more memories that I want to talk about, but I guess to throw, I don't want to hog anything here, Doom, so you play Super Metroid. It's not your it's not your first Metroid game like it is ours. Like, well, I guess what are your thoughts? Because you had had some of those other games that you played before. And I think that you could probably rightly say that there are some things in the game that haven't aged super, super well. Do you take those into account and just be like, that's a really solid Metroid game? Or is this one just like one of those ones where it's like, okay, no, this is like, I can see why people call it like the Metroid game.
It was a little bit of both. I kind of went going into Super Metroid. I feel like I got the same impression actually when I beat Ocarina of Time for the first time a few years ago, where it's like I played it and I'm like, wow, this is a fantastic video game. It's probably not my favorite game of all time, but I can absolutely see how playing this in 1998 was mind-blowing, like unlike anything that's ever happened before. And that was kind of the same thing with Super Metroid for me at the same time, where I was just like, whoa, so many ideas. And or even probably the most mind-blowing thing about Super Metroid was hearing all of these classic Metroid songs that I heard in Prime, Zero Mission, Prime 2, and hearing them in Super Metroid and going, whoa, this is where it all started. These roots go so far back. And, you know, and I guess I was surprised about, you know, how much of these Metroid conventions that, you know, I was obsessed with in these games were still present, you know, as far back, you know, in this title. And so I would say I had a really huge appreciation for this game, I think.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I feel like as soon as I was finished, like I had the same feeling as I did with Ocarina of Time. And those are still my two favorite games ever. I mean, obviously I'm a few years older than you, so those games really hit for me. But I was like immediately like, this is like one of the best games I've ever played. And maybe it might be the best game I've ever played. One thing for me that I also like really hold Super Metroid dear for is in a lot of ways it's responsible for this podcast and for this, like the website that we have, for us, you know, being here together doing a show, because without Super Metroid that wouldn't have happened. And specifically, like, I remember it was I think it was right before we launched the podcast. So I'd met Dak, and we'd met in late 2019, and I was like maybe thinking of starting a Metroid podcast, but I nothing official had been like put in motion yet, other than just like the general idea for it. And so we're together, and we're just like, okay, like you know, maybe we'll get this started sometime in like 2020. And then we did, and almost as soon as we started the show, COVID hit, and I was like, oh boy, I was out of work for like 6 months while I was waiting for the world to kind of turn back to normal. And so I was like, what the hell am I going to do for 6 months? And so one of the things that I did is like, you know what? And for a little bit more context here. So I, for anybody that doesn't know, I work at Zelda Dungeon as well. And so my mission there was like, I got to make some Metroid fans out of these guys. I was like a door-to-door Jehovah Witness almost. Just like, hey, have you heard about Metroid? Like, and so I was like, I got to get some of these guys to play Metroid. And one of the critiques that I'd heard with Super Metroid in particular is like, the game is really hard. Like, and it is. It's hard both in terms of like, maybe, I don't know. Actually, let me take a sidebar here. Do you think Super Metroid is harder in terms of like difficulty or just like not knowing where to go?
I would say probably in not knowing where to go. I feel like, especially in some of the more Mercury Steam games, I feel like a lot of those games definitely offer, you know, more beginner-friendly tool set, if you will, to help players when it comes to navigating. Difficulty-wise, I would argue the combat is actually much harder in the Mercury Steam games, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I love that difficulty spike, personally. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, in terms of, like, that navigation, and then also, while the controls don't bother me, personally, I can understand why, you know, those controls and maybe even the physics to an extent, you know, can also be, you know, can also, you know, not feel right to a lot of new players who are used to those. Yeah.
I'm a floaty physics like defender always, but
yeah. I'm over here laughing. I'm just like, hashtag skill issue. Sorry.
What do you mean floaty? You're just heavy as a rock in Metroid Fusion. That's what I always thought, but
like for real, you can't adapt. Sorry. Apologies.
So I was like, I'm making this, I'm trying to spread the good word of Super Metroid and the Metroid series in general, and I'm like, you know what, I'm laid off, I'm furloughed, I got nothing else to do, I'm gonna write a guide. And so I started writing a guide, and Doom, as you can probably attest, there's something like oddly satisfying about it. And it's not like you're writing it because nobody knows what to do or like anything like that. You're it's kind of just like, this is a different way to experience the game, like a guided direction that you might not otherwise have. And so that really, I think, even made me fall more in love with Super Metroid, because like, it's one thing to play it, but when you're writing and detailing and like when you're really focused on like, okay, I need this expansion here, but I could actually get it earlier here, and like the all of the like really really fantastic details that Super Metroid has to it, it makes you appreciate like just what a technical like masterpiece it is, as well as, you know, obviously the presentation that we talked about. So that, and of course the guide led to OmegaMetroid.com, which led to, you know, indirectly like, you know, expanding the team and bringing in people like Lilith and Doom and all of our great teammates that we have over on the site. So it holds a really special place for me in terms of that as well, just for, you know, kind of making friends where maybe there wouldn't be some otherwise. So I always love Super Metroid for that as well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that for sure. I mean, I have met an incredible amount of people, quality-wise and number-wise, just from my sheer love for Metroid, which stemmed from Super Metroid, which was my, you know, introduction to the series. So, first and foremost, I am more than grateful to the universe for that, and to Super Metroid for that. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the things that Super Metroid did. And so, like, obviously, we know what an awesome game it is. We know that the areas are awesome. We know that that the bosses are awesome. And by the way, we're going to be talking about the bosses here in either next week or the week after. But I feel like the legacy of Super Metroid is, like, so vast. Maybe people don't realize how vast it is. But I feel like Super Metroid in many, many ways is, like, still responsible for a lot of things that we see today. Obviously, basically the birth of the Metroidvania genre. Like, yes, NES Metroid did that first, obviously, and you have some other titles along the way, but like, in terms of like the map structure, everything like that, this is it. Like, this is a genre defining game that has never, like, the blueprint has never really changed. Like, other games have improved and expanded and added, but like, This was the blueprint. It's like the foundation, and I would argue that foundation still exists. I mean, Doom, you and I were talking about the new Prince of Persia game, and like, there's a lot of Super Metroid in that game.
Oh yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, again, like, it's literally the Metroidvania genre. Like, this is where it really takes its foothold, and every game you play after that, you know, you're gonna see it dipping its toes, you know, at least somewhat into that.
I haven't even, like, played it, and I've been on the fence for a while, and just, like, everything I've seen about it, and everything I've heard about it, and everything I've watched about it, I'm just like, I need to play this, because it's just Super Metroid.
Lilith, you would love Prince of Persia. It's so much fun.
I bought it yesterday. It's on sale.
I gotta get it. Absolutely.
But, I mean, like, even, like, and I love the Metroidvania genre, and I look to some of my favorite games in the genre, like Ori, even Symphony of the Night, like, you know, some of those classic Castlevanias, and it's like, I don't know if any of these multitude of games that I love that are different than Super Metroid, but, like, share a little bit of, like, that, you know, they all came from the same primordial soup, so to speak. None of these games would exist without Super Metroid being as fantastically excellent as it was back in 1994, 30 years ago. So I just, like, the legacy that this game leaves for Metroidvanias is honestly, like, I don't know. Like, you could point to, like, you know, your original, like, Final Fantasies or, like, your Mario Bros. As, like, very genre-defining games. Or Doom, for example, like, the first-person shooter. But, like, I just, like, Metroidvania is one of my favorite genres. This is the grandfather of that genre, and it's arguably still the best in that genre 30 years later, which I feel like is just so unbelievably wild.
Yeah, like, even, you know, even taking away the rest of the Metroid series, which, having no more Metroid after Super Metroid, I don't want to think about that, but no. Like, even, you know, again, but just thinking about that whole Metroidvania genre and, like, all the fantastic games, whether we've played them on Inspired by Metroid or stuff that we haven't covered yet. You know, there's such a vast library of fantastic work out there that, you know, like you said, just would not exist without this game.
Yeah, that's, so that, I feel like that's one of, like, the obvious legacies that Super Metroid brings or leaves behind. But there's a few more that I think that we should detail. And maybe we should keep on rolling with like the obvious ones here that I think are like so important. And Doom, this is going to be right up your alley. But like, I mean, how many musical motifs, musical pieces are still being like remixed, reanimated, listened to in this series? Like, you have arguably like some of the most iconic tracks in all of video games in Super Metroid. The Brinstar theme immediately comes to mind for me. Both Brinstar themes, so like the title theme, the theme of Samus, like the Norfair theme. It's a who's who of like amazing, amazing music. And even the music that you could say like, this one's just okay, is like, I don't know, maybe like the Wreck Ship, for example, is still like, when you're playing it, it's like this incredibly atmospheric and diegetic is the word where like, it seems like the environment is creating the sounds, right?
Not technically, but it definitely, so diegetic is something that is happening in universe. So say the Canteen Band in episode 4, New Hope. That's diegetic music. The music of Metroid, I think at its best, is, you know, music that is very much non-diegetic, but you know, it uses clever instrument choices that almost feel like they could be diegetic, even if they technically aren't. Mm-hmm. And they blend with those diegetic, you know, atmospheric noises that are happening to create, you know, this weird, you know, weird gray area of like, you know, and it kind of pulls you, it just further pulls you into the world. You know, you actually brought up that title theme, and I absolutely love that title theme because it does just that. You have this, I kind of like to interpret the title theme as, you know, the title sequence as like a POV of Ridley right after he's killed all the scientists. And then as the title theme is going on, you hear these inhales and exhales. And I always imagine that's Ridley's actual breath as you're looking at it. But that's, you know, that's not coming from the game world. That's part of the music. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's such a cool touch.
A little bit of creepy headcanon there. Now I'm never going to look at the titles, title theme the same.
Now I'll never be able to see it the same way again.
Yeah, thanks for that. You know what's funny, too, about Super Metroid? Correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but, like, I don't think that it uses any music from any of the previous games. Right? Does it?
There's the item room theme from NES Metroid. Obviously, the title theme has leitmotifs referencing the NES title theme, and then there's the spawn theme from when you load up from a save station, and then the item collect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and Torian as well is from NES Troid.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so it does use a few. I guess the point I was trying to make is like in the bulk of the game, like where you spend most of the action, it's like, I don't know. I guess I would just kind of expect like it would, you know, kind of like A Link to the Past did with the original Zelda game. It like kind of relies on some of that iconic music at this point. It's certainly Super Mario World. Whereas Super Metroid is just like, nah, I think we can create something new that's just as awesome. And like, it's everlasting and just been like immediately some of the most iconic themes. Like I said, in all of gaming, like I think you could arguably make it like a valid argument that like, you know, the Brinstar theme, the Norfair theme, the title theme is like in your top, I don't know, 20 most recognizable themes, which is funny because I wouldn't say the Metroid is necessarily a recognizable series, but like the music was just so powerful and so pungent that it's hard to kind of argue against that.
Yeah. As a person that's not like musically like trained, I can say that like, I think Super Metroid's music, you know, if you ask anybody that's a Metroid fan what their favorite song is, it's going to either come from Super Metroid or it's going to come from the Prime series. Like, and like, where does the Prime series music come from? Like, it's Super Metroid's music just has like this ability to just kind of pull you into its environments and like just keep you there. Like, I, like, especially Meridia, like I can feel myself, and that's one of the reasons I hate Meridia is because I do not like water. I don't like water. I don't like being underwater, and that's what it feels like the entire time. And that's amazing to me, honestly. That just like that kind of that song can do that to me. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Well, Lilith, you you mentioned like without the music of Prime, like where does that come from? I mean, what's the big connective tissue between Super Metroid and Prime? Kenji Yamamoto, you know, that composer, along with Minako Hamano, you know, they were working on Super Metroid, and then Kenji went off to do Prime while Hamano worked on the 2D games, and then eventually they all reunited for Prime 3.
He was waiting for that. He was, as soon as you said that, Doom was like, yeah.
Put one in the chamber, ready.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously just such an incredible score, one of the greatest scores of any game. And I think, like, the fact that you could say, like, maybe it's not the best score in the Metroid series, you could maybe say Metroid Prime is just another astounding achievement to the series overall. But, like, there's something about those original, like, the atmosphere that the music conjures up for me. Like, you know, the theme of Samus, when you land on Brinstar, in Criteria, and you, the wind is blowing and the rain's coming, and, like, that slow theme plays, like, it's just, like, this was one of the... And I don't even know if I realized it at the time, and this is why I'm bringing up music specifically, even though we talk about music a lot on the show, is, like, I think the music for me just, like, really defined this game, because it wasn't, like... I mean, it's not, like, video game music, but it is, but you know what I mean? Like, in Super Mario, you have, like, the... It's, like, very gamey.
It feels almost more theatrical, and, like, kind of, like... It feels like it kind of sets, like, a scene for, like, what is happening, instead of just being, like, game music, which, I mean, it is game music, but it's, like, there's a scene happening, there is something happening, and the music puts you in that mood. Absolutely.
100%. That's a perfect way to put it. It's like you're watching a show or a movie, and it's like, okay, like, I've got the tense music now, I've got the... And I guess, like, other games did that, but I feel like Super Metroid just did it so much well, like, so much better than a lot of other contemporaries out there. You know, one other thing, speaking of the legacy of Super Metroid, that I feel like, and these are kind of like two sides of the same coin, but I feel like Super Metroid was one of the games, and listen, I'm no expert in this field, but to me, even before I became involved with, like, Zelda Dungeon, Omega, anything like that, when I thought of speedrunning, I thought of Super Metroid. And I think, like, Mario 64 is maybe, like, the most sped run, I don't know, game in the world. But, like, Super Metroid to me was always so compelling, because it's like, wow, like, there's all these, like, really unbelievable tricks that you can do. But I think what made speedrunning Super Metroid for me just seem really cool is, like, you know, in Ocarina of Time, you can do a skip, and it's a glitch where you get, like, a bug at the very beginning of when you're fighting Goma in the Deku Tree, and you go all the way to the end of the game. And for me, I was like, you know, it's kind of, like, a little bit lame, because it takes skill to do that. It's a glitch versus, like, a bending of the Matrix, so to speak. Whereas, like, in Super Metroid, I'm watching people do crazy things and things that, like, seem like they shouldn't be possible, but you're seeing him do it, and it's not like the system is glitching out or anything like that. I just think that, like, seeing people do that, and with the incredible history of, like, Super Metroid speedrunners that we have, and the races for world records and stuff like that, I really feel like Super Metroid also had a very large hand in popularizing speedrunning. Doom, I think you're a little bit more knowledgeable than me in that world. Is that a fair thing to say?
I would say so, yeah. Like, when I think of, like, the Holy Trinity, or the Triforce, if you will, of, like, speedrunning, it's Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, and Super Metroid. Those are the big three. I feel like those are the three most mainstream games in, like, you know, when the topic of speedrunning comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like, the stuff you can do in Super Metroid is just, like, it's still incredible today. Like, this game is 30 years old now, and we are still having new records being set. You know, the meta is continuing to evolve 30 years later, and, you know, we're, you know, this is back in the day before we had, like, patches and whatnot, so it's not like anything has changed. You're playing on the same base game that was available back in the day, and people are still cracking it and piecing it apart and finding new ways, you know, to exploit it, which I think is so cool. Like, there's I remember beating Metroid Super Metroid, and, you know, just having so much trouble with that wall jump at first. It took me so much time to get all that down. And, like, and then watching a speed run right after, and just watching someone just effortlessly just single wall jump within, like, less than a second. Just whoop, 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 whoop. And I was just like, what?
Have you ever seen, do you know that portion of the game referred to as Alcatraz? Where it's like, I believe this is right It's right in Criteria, like to the left when you start, and you.
Is it with the two missile upgrades?
I think so. Yeah, there's like that really.
I'm like, yes, I do remember.
There's a morph ball tunnel that you can get. Yeah, yeah. I've seen people like wall jump and then like morph up and like go through that hole, and I was like, I could do that. And I tried it. I was like, what the hell? How do they do this? Like, it's but the thing about Super Metroid 2 is that what I think makes it so unique and so like it's been such a like a beacon for speedrunners is because like there are things that you can do if you're an amateur. Like I taught myself how to perform a mock ball in a couple hours. I can do it fairly consistently now. Like I taught myself how to do like a spore spawn skip, and it's not stuff that you need to like be a rocket scientist in order to do. Like you can practice it and teach yourself with like a good tutorial and like a relatively small amount of time. And like, yeah, once you kind of get those basics down, then you can go into things like the short speed boost or whatever, like the crazy stuff, like the anti-gravity suit that they have, which lets you get to Ridley right away. But like, you can do a few of these things if you're willing to learn about them. And I think that is another reason why like Super Metroid is so enduring, is because like people keep on trying to like see what they can do, better themselves, better their times and whatnot. So I don't know, like, have you guys ever tried to like do any of that, like a mock ball or anything like that? Lil, you've been mock balling in your Super Metroid playthroughs?
Personally, I've never been able to do the mock ball, but there's a couple things that I've like tried to do and that I've done to like skip through and get like certain like missile upgrades and stuff like that. I'm just like, haha, I'm so talented. I'm not very talented. But, you know, it's cool. It's so awesome to be able to do that and to be able to, like, and it's okay. And it's, like, cool. I can keep going through the game and do that. Like, but, yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm actually really glad you brought that up, because that actually reminded me that unlocked a core memory of the very first time I played Super Metroid, and that was getting early Wave Beam. And keep in mind, this was before I, you know, had any concept of speedrunning glitches or anything. I was playing this game completely blind, so I had absolutely no idea, you know, what kind of potential you could do. But I remember getting, you know, to this spot, and I'm like, okay, obviously, that is a grapple point if I've ever seen one. That is a grapple point looking grapple point. I'm not supposed to be here, but I think I can get across anyways. Mm-hmm. And so I just started experimenting. You know, I looked at like the iframes you can get. I didn't know what to call them at the time, but I now know that they're iframes when you hit the spikes. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, you know what? If I could time it just right, I could do a wall jump off that and, you know, maneuver myself. And I finally did it. And to open that door and see the freaking wave beam. Oh my gosh, that was like that blew my mind. And I was aware. I'm like, I was clearly not supposed to get this. Yeah. And that makes this all the more better. And I think what's cool about Super Metroid is that it's clearly not an intended skip, but it doesn't break the game at all. Like, obviously, you're more powerful, but it's not like, you know, it's not like the game becomes a cakewalk. And so you still get, you know, that satisfactory of challenge, but also this really cool accomplishment. And that's something, you know, like I said, that's a core memory for me. I feel like that's another big reason, because, I mean, well, Zero Mission has sequence breaking too. I didn't experience anything like that before.
No.
That shows up a few times in the game too, like in Brinstar when you get to the pink room and you're just like, if I can wall jump here properly. Area. Yeah, exactly. You're like, I can get this. I just got to jump right. I bet you I can get that. And like, there's a couple of it. Like, you get early power bombs, but to your point, it's like, it's not like you're breaking the game or anything. It's you have to be skilled enough to do it, and you can get skilled just by practice. So, like, I think that Super Metroid is so good for that as well. Like, it's just, like, really, really phenomenal. And like, the history of sequence breaks in this game is, like, I watched a really cool documentary about it, and it's, like, when speedrunners discovered, hey, maybe we don't have to stick to, like, the same order of bosses, and maybe we could try Ridley before Kraid. It's like that also opens up like a whole new world for this game, which again I think like really gives it legs. Like, you know, the amount of mods and ROM hacks for this game that exist are absolutely staggering, and I think there's just something like enduring about this game that people just can't get enough of. And I think like the skips and like the techniques and stuff like that, because I hesitate to even call them like sequence break. I guess they're sequence breaks, but they're not glitches, but you just have to be skilled enough. And I think that really incentivizes people to like keep improving, keep playing Super Metroid.
You know, honestly, like, personally, it feels like it was almost intentional. But, I mean, obviously, it probably wasn't, but it just feels that way. Like, the fact that it's just so, like, you can do it and it doesn't break the game and you still have a good time. It's like, maybe, you know. I don't know.
It's, like, everything about this game just feels like it's just crafted with so much thought and so much care. And like, you know, there's a couple other things I want to talk about as well, but just, like, It always just blows me away, like, some of the secrets and, like, some of the stuff that you can do when you play this game. And like, I've played this game hundreds of times, and still, every time that I play it, it's like, oh, cool, I'll do this differently, or I'll do this a little bit uniquely or whatever. So it's just, like, some of the things that this game does, like I said, just continue to blow me away. I would suggest to you guys, maybe, this might be a step too far, but tell me what you think of this. I think I would suggest, too, that the quality of Super Metroid really kind of helped 2D games stick around. Because I don't, like, consider when it comes out 30 years ago, 1994, we're about to enter the N64 era. And obviously, like, 3D is the big thing at that point. And, like, there's not a ton of you know, want or desire for 2D games anymore. And I wonder if without this game, and without Symphony of the Night, if, like, 2D games just kind of, like, go away, or if people are like, you know what, no, like, these games are so spectacular, like, they're so good, like, we can't just, like, abandon 2D games, because there's so much more, again, because Super Metroid kind of created the genre, and then you see Symphony of the Night kind of expand upon it. I think it's fair to say most 2D games that are being made today are Metroidvanias, like, in a large way, like, I feel like Super Metroid really kind of helped the 2D, like, gameplay style continue on into modern times and continue to thrive. I don't know if you guys would agree with that, but that's kind of how I feel.
I would say probably in regards to the indie scene, I would agree. But again, that's because, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of those indie scene games, you know, are inherently Metroidvanias, which I feel like goes back to our previous point, you know. Without this game, there is no Metroidvania genre. Mm-hmm. You know, it's too much of a domino effect without this. In terms of, like, 2D platformers in general, though, I'm not sure if I agree with that, just because I feel like there was also a lot of, you know, unrelated kind of landmark titles. I feel like, if anything, I feel like handheld gaming is what really, like, was able to push, you know, 2D gaming, you know, forward, you know, despite all these incredible advancements, you know, with 3D physics and whatnot.
Yeah, you know what, that could be fair. That could be fair. Lilith, what do you think of that assessment?
I'm biased, so of course I would agree with you. I mean, like I said, pretty much every 2D game I've played is since, I mean, not pretty much, but, you know, almost every has been a Metroidvania, and that might be my own bias, just playing the games that I enjoy, but, you know, I'm playing what's available, and I don't know, but yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the legacy of this game is just, like, so far-reaching, so profound. I feel like we're, like, again, like, I just feel like it's, like, an enduring, eternal game that's just, like, it's fantastic for newcomers to play. It's quick and easy to pick up if you're, like, a classic veteran like us. So, yeah, one of my favorite games. I really like I said, I just wanted this more to be a conversation. I just wanted to open it up here. Like, what are... And you don't have to... You can talk about gameplay, you can talk about music, whatever you want. But, like, if I were to ask you, Lilith, what is your favorite thing about Super Metroid? Or what are some of your favorite things about this game? What are you thinking? Like, what immediately comes to mind when I ask you that question?
I think my favorite thing about Super Metroid is the story, which is probably not something most people would say, because, I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot there, but, I mean, I've embellished that, you know, I've made my own personal, you know, fan comics and stuff like that and all that fun crap, but, I mean, it's just, I feel like that opening sequence just gives Samus so much personality and just so much, you know, The mood of Super Metroid is just so... It's just good.
Very atmospheric. That might be my answer, to be honest with you. Like, the atmosphere. I would actually probably say the story as well. I love the way that Super Metroid story is told, like in game. I love that.
That end sequence, like, I cannot, like, legitimately to this day, like, I still cry about it.
I think, like, that is Metroid storytelling at its best, where it's, like, taking actively place, like, during the sequence of events that you see unfold before you. So I love the story there as well. There's so many things I love about Super Metroid, obviously, as, you know, people listening to me ramble here can discern, but I think, like, the one thing, like, the atmosphere is definitely big, but I feel like as I get older and play this game more and more and more, the structure that this game was put together with is just, like, immaculate. It's like an old grandfather clock from, like, 200 years ago that still runs perfectly, still dongs every hour, you know, it still has the cuckoo coming out. Like, it's so timeless, and the way and the care and the intricacy that the map is laid out and that power-ups are laid out is so spectacular to me. And I do love the physics as well, but Doom, before I kind of start flapping my app again, same question to you. Like, when you think Super Metroid, the thing that you love about this game, what immediately comes to mind? And it could be a few things if you want.
Yeah, there's two big things I think that really stand out for me in this game. And one is kind of an obvious one, but something I think is important to point out anyways, that it feels like, and we'll talk about this when we inevitably do a definitive ranking episode, but every aspect of this game is firing on all cylinders. And even if something maybe isn't my favorite in the entire, like the sound, I'll just spoil my soundtrack, for instance. It might not be my favorite soundtrack of the series. That's still a 5 out of 5 soundtrack for me. Like, the music in this game is incredible. It's so good. And again, like, there might be certain aspects, like, I know you and I, we disagree on Meridian and stuff, but I would still give, like, you know, the environments and the level design overall a super high grade. Like, everything about this game is just so expertly crafted, and everything works. There isn't, like, a single, you know, half-assed thing, if you will, about this game. Everything is just, you know, like I said, it's so expertly crafted. But getting into a more specific point, you know, when I think about, you know, what works about this game, is something that I do think that this game does substantially better than any of the Metroid games, and that's the actual exploration and the actual level design itself. For me, when it comes to Metroid, my, you know, my favorite types of Metroid games are the ones with road trip style exploration, as I've dubbed, where one moment you can be in one area, and then you don't know where your next item is. You know, maybe it's in the same area, maybe it's in a brand new area. But there's these very subtle level design clues that if you're paying attention to them, you know, the game's invisible hand will guide you. But you also don't have to follow that. You can also carve your own route and do something completely different and still progress, which I think is awesome. And I don't think, you know, to this day that any game really tops Super Metroid in that regard. It is the absolute gold standard of exploration.
You know, you said something there, and I want to follow up on that, because it actually bleeds into my point that I was making before. And I know that people are going to probably roll their eyes at this, but I love Meridia. And, you know, we've had some fun with that on the Great Metroid Area Ranking, available on Patreon. But, like, that kind of goes back to what I mean with, like, I really appreciate the structure of this game, where it's like, if you're a first-time player, I guarantee you, you're going into Meridia without the gravity suit. You'd just be like, oh my god, this area sucks. I need to get out of here. Like, immediately, like, god, what? It's sandy, it's watery, I'm moving like I'm in slow motion. Like, this is terrible. But, like, when you play Super Metroid, like, when I play Super Metroid now, I instinctively know, like, I ain't even heading there until I'm out of the wrecked ship. Like, and I think that, like, the game is so smart because you don't have to head there. Like, you really don't. And you can get everything that you need beforehand, and you can kind of do everything all in, like, one fell swoop. Whereas, like, you're right. Like, but you also have the freedom to go, like, explore and you know, forge out a path and get as far as you can. And you can get pretty far in a lot of areas without the requisite power-ups, too. So, like, I feel like it's just such a, like, a rewarding experience. Rewarding the first time you play it because you're exploring, you're just like, this is awesome, it's new, it's fresh. But rewarding when you come back to it too, because you're just like, I'm a veteran, I'm gonna have my route, and I'm not gonna have any wasted steps here. And I think that, like,
I don't need to see you yet.
Yeah, it's like, no matter what, I feel like it's like rewarding, just to go through. I have a couple other things that I want to shout out that I love about Super Metroid as well. More like individual, like in-game things. Number one, I remember being like blown away when I was like, you can kill Dragon with the grapple beam? What?
That's what I showed off to my dad.
I was like, what do you mean? Like, this guy's been whipping my butt around the arena like the entire time here. She's pile driving me into the walls, and like you could easily just like get rid of Dragon. I thought that was so awesome and like such an amazing moment. Another thing that I love about Super Metroid is obviously, and Doom, I know you'll agree, it introduces the greatest power-up that this series has ever seen. And it doesn't realize its full potential yet, because it's new, and it doesn't know what exactly, you know, it can do with the speed booster, but it introduces the speed booster and definitely has some ideas about what the speed booster could become. And I think that arguably, like, you know, I would say for me, speed boost puzzles are like the thing I look forward to most now in a new 2D Metroid. And I don't think I'd be alone saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 100% with you there. And even for Super Metroid, like, it's obviously very much at its early stages. Even Fusion, like, was such a massive step up, you know, to what the potential is. But even Super Metroid, you know, you could definitely see, like, you could definitely see, oh, hey, we're going places. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I dislike Meridia, I'd say that probably has my favorite speed booster puzzle of the whole game, where you have to pay attention to, like, a little blade of grass sticking out in the ground, maybe a seaweed, and then boost right up there into a missile expansion. I always thought that looked really cool when you pull that off.
It's the toughest expansion in the game, for sure. But again, like, when you line up that little piece of seaweed, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm awesome.
I get it.
just good stuff. Another thing that I love about Super Metroid is just like the like when you're in Norfair, like the build up to the Ridley fight, like particularly in lower Norfair, obviously you see all these like Ridley statues, and like it feels like very atmospheric and intimidating, and the music kind of starts ramping up. I still don't think that I've played almost any game where like there is such like a big fight feel. It feels like you're like wrestling in the main event of WrestleMania, like right before you go in there, and like the music is ramped up, and you're just like you know that you're on a collision course, and it's like, okay, you've already fought Ridley once too, and you couldn't do much to him. I think that like that's such an awesome build up with the anticipation and the music, and like, oh, it's so great. Like, and I still like, I've played this game like 100 times. So, like, I get goosebumps every time when I'm just like, let's do it. You know, when it's finally time to throw down with Ridley, which I still would think, I say that this is the best Ridley fight in the series to this day. Still.
It's a really good one. It's not my favorite, but again, like I was talking about earlier, you know, even if it's not my favorite Ridley fight, it is firing on all cylinders still. Like, mm-hmm. It is a terrific fight.
Yeah. One other thing that I also love about Super Metroid, and again, this is like kind of old hat by now, but like, it's just, there's something so charming to me about, you got these little animal buddies that, you know, that are just kicking around on the planet. And the fact that you can save them at the end, we take it for granted now, but like, It's such a cool little thing, and the amount of money that decision to include those animals has raised is astronomical. Like, astronomical, speaking of speedrunning, like, that's got to be one of the biggest, like, donation incentives for any game, anytime, anywhere, right?
That's the donation incentive. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
If you don't save the animals, you're not a good person.
No, I save them every time. You gotta save them. You know what does? You know what bugs me up? Speaking of Meridia, there's that turtle and her family.
Yes. I know. Don't remind me.
They don't make it out. Maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe there's another ship. It's so.
They went from the other side. Let's just go.
Yeah, that's it. They took the lower elevator out. It's so charming that there's just like these little animal dudes that teach you how to use skills that you don't even know that you have. So I love that as well. Yeah. And you know, to be honest with you, I was about to say I better stop before I just continue on, but I have to throw this in too. Super Metroid is the birthplace of one of my favorite and one of the proudest traditions in this Metroid series, which is if you see a glass tube, you gotta blow it up. You blow it up with a power bomb.
I knew where the second you said tradition, I knew exactly where this was going.
There's something so amazing about just like, you're playing Metroid Prime, you're playing Zero Mission, you're like, there's a glass tube. I'm taking you down. Yeah.
I geeked out so hard during Dread when you're escalating to the final fight, and I'm like, oh, that's we're going to the tube, and that's partially destroyed. Well, we're about to get power bombs.
Yeah,
I know what we're doing.
it's just a time honored tradition. It's like a coming of age for a new Metroid game. Like, all right, you want to officially be a Metroid game? Go get yourself a glass tube. We're gonna blow it up.
It's really funny that, like, you saying that, because when I was little, like, my parents literally made, like, a spectacle of that. They're like, sit here and watch us do this. And they sat there in the tube, blew it up, and I'm just like, oh my god. So, yeah.
And I guess I wonder, too, like, because when I was playing Super Metroid for the first time, the internet was still kind of, like, in its infancy, but there was, like, game facts, and there was a walkthrough for it. So, but I wonder, like, Who dropped that first bomb? I guess you probably knew if you had the official strategy guide, but like some of the ingenuity of players just to be like, I don't know, let's try bombing this glass tube with a power bomb and see what happens. Like, it's just it's good stuff. It's fantastic. So I was gonna say,
yeah, you can. I thought you were done. You can finish if you want.
No, please go ahead.
Okay, I was just gonna say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe, like, you know, if you leave the title screen on and, you know, it'll start playing those little game demos, I believe one of the things they show you is Samus, you know, blowing up the tube.
You're right. Okay, maybe it wasn't that that great of an accomplishment, but it kind of feels like a cool thing anyways.
It does. It's a great accomplishment. I
don't care.
I discovered it on my own, so I'll just take it like that.
Yeah, you know, like, I could probably sit here and just kind of rattle off a bunch of things that I love about Super Metroid for a while. I don't think anybody's interested in listening to that, but, like, it's one of my favorite games ever. It's one of the best games ever. I think it's one of the most important games ever. An incredible legacy to leave behind, you know, that's still having its legacy felt on new Metroid games, on new video games that are still being, you know, coming out as recently as like months ago, you know, talk about Prince of Persia. So, yeah, you know, it's just, 30 years of Super Metroid. It feels unreal. It almost feels like yesterday in some ways, where my dad and I were in that little mom and pop shop picking up Super Metroid for $15 from a guy who didn't know what he had.
Yeah.
It's actually funny. Super Metroid is the, so I own all the Metroid games physically now, but that wasn't the case before. And Super Metroid was actually the final piece to my physical collection. I found it last year at anime convention, and so I instantly snagged that up. And yeah, just after that, I got to play Super Metroid on original hardware for the first time in my life. Right after that, so that was a really special experience.
Yeah.
You guys probably can't see behind me, but I have a SNES with a Super Metroid cartridge on the top of my display here, right beside my original N64 with Ocarina of Time on it. So those are my two hallowed, like, titles that I have up there, which, you know, are the games that are most important to me. So, yeah, you know, and we've got a couple other Super Metroid shows coming in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be ranking all the bosses, but that's why we avoided kind of talking about them today, because we're going to be talking about them in long form. And as well, we're going to be bringing Mapping Metroid Mac back and talking about, I believe we said Norfair, I believe is what
correct.
We said. So that's going to be awesome. As mentioned, there's a little sneak peek there of, like, some of the things that area does so well that I love. So lots more Super Metroid to come. But yeah, you know, I'm really grateful to Super Metroid in a lot of ways for, you know, bringing me to the Metroid community, for bringing me to you guys here, my friends, and talking about this. And, you know, it's funny what a difference, like, one game can make on your life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Metroid is basically a whole personality trait of mine, and, you know, this game is a huge part of why that is, you know. whether it be the game itself or, you know, the fact that without it, we wouldn't have gotten the games afterwards. And so for that alone, like, I have to give it all my thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Super Metroid made video gaming and Metroid an entire part of, like, that makes up half of who I am. And, you know, I have my dad to thank for that. And I love this game with all of my heart and all of my being.
Yeah, you know, 30 years of Super Metroid, and it's aged like fine wine, honestly. Like, it's still as playable as ever. You could maybe say, like, there's some quality of life tweaks that could be made, and you'd probably be right, but I mean, like, we're talking about a 30-year game. These are very, very minor things. It's still just so playable. It's so easy to control. The controls are so good. The world design is so good. The atmosphere, the music, like, everything about it is just, like, S-tier, and I think that is another big reason why, like, maybe the Metroid series has stuck around as long as it has. You know, the series has never sold that well. It's never been the number one series on the charts or on people's tongues. But, like, the expectation of quality that Super Metroid set has been enduring. And, like, every title since then has kind of been measured against that expectation of quality. And for the most part, the series has really kind of kept up to those standards left by Super Metroid. So yet another legacy that it leaves us. So, yeah. Well, like I said, I could probably go on and on and on and on and on about Super Metroid, but I'll cut myself off here. Any final thoughts on this game before we get out of here, guys?
Floaty physics aren't that bad.
Thank you for that. They really aren't. They're actually awesome.
I definitely prefer the heavier physics, but, like, I like the floaty physics, too. And I think for this game in particular, like, I feel like they're, like, a necessity. Yeah.
I thought you were about to say necessary evil, and I was like, you take that back.
I was struggling to get my words out. No, it's a necessity, you know, to pull off, like, all the incredible tech and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so that's something, even, you know, I have, I have Super Metroid Redux on my PC, and one of the options you can do is, you know, get heavier physics. I don't do that. I'll do, like, you know, the modern missile controls for, like, the GBA games, you know, the faster loading times on the doors, but I keep those original physics. I feel like you have to have that for Super Metroid.
100%. 100%. All right. There we go. Super Metroid. 30 years old. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amazing experience. Amazing game. One of the best games ever. If you have not played Super Metroid in a long time, go play it right now. It's on NSO, and I'm hoping that everybody has access to it. Or maybe even you got your old Super Nintendo, you got an old CRT TV, maybe you're going to hook it up and play it old school. Either way, go play Super Metroid. It still is awesome, and all of us here, I think, owe a debt to that game as well. And probably a lot of Metroid fans listening to this do as well. So go and give it some love. All right, that is going to do it for us, friends. We are going to get out of here, but we want to remind everybody, number one, that we are over on Patreon. So check us out, patreon.com/SBNet. We have the great Metroid area ranking rolling along, and that keeps on rolling and rolling. We're ranking three areas in the series every month until basically we have the entire series ranked. So that is continuing to go on. And then we're also, you could also check us out over on OmegaMetroid.com. You can check out maps, guides, written walkthrough for Super Metroid, maybe if you're going to replay it. Hey, that might be cool. With some other stuff going up on the website as well. And of course, give us a shout over, or give us a follow rather, over on social at OmegaMetroidPod, at Spiteri316, at DoominalCross, and at Lilith with three L's. And hey, give us a like. Give us a follow. Give us a rating over on your preferred podcast platform of choice. That would be awesome. Leave us a review if you really want to be wicked. You can, all those reviews are awesome and much appreciated. So that would be that'd be really cool if you wanted to take a second and do that. If you got a Metroid fan in your life, hey, tell them where they can get their weekly Metroid fix. There's only one podcast out there making a weekly Metroid show, and you're listening to it. So there we go. That is going to do it for us for this week. We're back here next week with some more Super Metroid content. So until then, everybody, take care.